Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. It's been an interesting weekend. A lot of managers got booed this weekend. A couple teams won. No one here in particular, apart from Shy, actually, which is kind of a change in atmosphere at the moment. But anyway, you are joined by myself at FLWN underscore, and I'm here with
Shy at Shy Carla.
Marva at Marva MSK.
Tima at Tima Nichols.
Audrey at Audrey Milan.
Brie at Brie Blue.
Now, if some of you might remember that there was a bet that was made that someone would have to wear a Rivals t-shirt. So if Chelsea beat Manchester United, Audrey was going to wear a Chelsea shirt. If United beat Chelsea, Tima was going to wear Aaron Wan-Bissaka shirt. Was it Brie? Oh, Brie was going to wear an Aaron Wan-Bissaka shirt. Now, we were at a stalemate, but did anyone bring their shirts?
No, what's the point?
No one lost.
Damn, fine, no problem. I was actually going to make Audrey wear the scarf, but it's fine. It's
no, but why? I didn't lose.
No, what do you mean you don't lose?
No, I didn't lose today.
Okay, well, you said a couple of comments that made you lose, but we'll go into it as we go along. But I guess the first thing I want to get is, actually, Audrey, let's get your point of view first on this entire match. So what were your positives and your negatives for Man United?
Positive is that, cool, we drew and was away from home. The bridge is a bridge. We're not home.
I'm going to need you to go closer to your mouth.
Oh, sorry. I said the positive, we drew, we should have won. If it wasn't for, I can't remember, I'm slandering him, but Aaron, we would have won with 3 points.
Interesting.
But it was calm. Like, Matt Carrick, still all right, but I still don't want to keep him. The negative of this game was Scott McTominay. He is a pack of crap. Like, no, like, honestly,
Scott McTominay was your best player.
Let me. Do you know what? I'm waiting for the day that Fergie's juice of being Scottish runs up, because there's no way that Scott should have won man of the match. Fred was really good. Matic was really good. David Hill was really good.
Keep going.
David Hill was really good. Sancho was decent, but Scott McTominay was not anywhere near the best player on the pitch. The guy could have been sent off so many times. And was it Anthony Taylor I was refereeing, right?
Yeah.
Gave him life. And I don't know why Carrick still kept him on the pitch. Like, nah, he was the worst player on the pitch for me today.
I'm as baffled as you are.
He was not, for my team personally, because they gave him man of the match. And everyone, me personally, is Fergie's tax. There's no reason for Scott to get man of the match. Fred was better. Fred was a better player today. So was Matic, so was David Hill. Why is Scott McTominay getting man of the match? That's my verdict anyway. So what you guys think? Scott was a decent...
No, but I think the thing is, I think in terms of Manchester United, in terms of their play, he was the most aggressive one.
No, he was. There's being aggressive and there's being really rubbishly aggressive. He was crap.
Sorry, I forgot who I was talking to. Yeah.
No. Like, I'm not trying, like, crap.
Like, genuinely, I thought, like, he was the only one, like, I thought was pressing really, really
no,
well.
No, Fred was pressing. Fred
was... I disagree. Fred was Manchester exactly. United's best player by far. Without Fred, even...
By far,
he was their best player. And no one credits Fred. Everyone calls Fred shit. But today, in the middle of the park, if there's one Manchester United midfielder that can hold their head high, it's Fred. Whatever his surname is, I don't know. But it's Fred.
But in fact, you know what? I forgot about Bruno. Bruno was equally as bad as Scott McTominay. Yeah, he stunk up the joint. Bruno he stunk at the joint.
And so was Marcus Rashford. I think Bruno and Marcus. No. But let's keep it real.
Okay, Rashford was a bit shit. But the reason why Rashford got a bit of leeway, do you not see how he sprinted when he saw Jadon Sancho there?
If Jadon Sancho had passed to Rashford, Rashford would have been offside. So
okay, but he's still that. Well, he's still there anyway. Whereas what's his name? Something was just shit. Oh shit!
But I feel like Rashford was the reason why Mendy didn't commit to Sancho, even if he was offside. That's why he couldn't commit.
Fair factor.
Okay, that's fine. I personally think Scott McTominay was okay. Tima, what are your thoughts on Scott McTominay?
Yeah, I thought he was very, very good. I thought, as I said,
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, I thought he pressed well. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he brought something to Manchester United that I have not seen since.
Jesus Christ.
But it's true.
What did he bring that you
did
that you haven't seen? I'm confused.
Actual competitiveness.
He was a backup. Did you watch the same game?
I think so.
Do you know, for a Chelsea fan to say that, they're actually trolling us because Scott McTominay was actually a bad player.
What do you think was so bad about his performance?
He's just a crap player overall. He doesn't do anything on the... Like, he's just crap. Even under Ole, he's just a crap player. I've never rated him.
I don't rate him, but I thought he played well today.
He didn't play well today because if it was another... If it was Mike Dean, I swear to God, Mike Dean would have just done this and he would have been sent off straight away. It's because Anthony Taylor was a bit, like, lenient. Somebody should have been sent off.
Yeah, he hates
Chelsea, man.
Like, I'm sorry, he stunk up. Like, him and Bruno stunk up the joint. But like I said, the reason why Bruno's getting a bit of leeway is because it's Bruno. But Scottie was...
To be honest, Bruno stank. That back pass where I thought Hudson-Odoi scored. What's he doing? Why are you passing the ball like that?
But to be fair, we can speak about Man United a bit more later on. But Tima, what was your pros and cons of the match?
I thought Chelsea's performance wasn't great. I thought... Man United are there for the taking. This is the second mid-table team that we've lost to. Not lost to, like, just drop points at 100.
I beg your pardon.
It's just the way you dropped that in.
Do you know that you haven't beat us in the league over 2 years, right?
Yeah, but that's fine. But you are in mid-table. Okay, well, have you beaten facts?
That's fine. We're eighth. Wow, woo. Has the league finished?
It's not finished, but you are in mid-table team.
We're not
mid-table
team, we're top 16, thank you very much.
Yeah, but right now, are you in the top six?
We're not in top six, we're still top 16.
Thank you very much. So, anyway, as I was saying, that's the second mid-table team that we've dropped points to at home when we should have won. Man United were there for the taking. And I think that the team that he picked was wrong, in my opinion. I would have played Aspilicueta, I would have played Lukaku, I would have played Havertz. I don't know whether I would have played Werner. And I would have played Mount as well. I would have changed that front three. I think for me, the front three weren't front three.
How do you justify changing that front three in the way you want to change it? So you said you're bringing Mason Mount, you're bringing Romelu Lukaku. Mason Mount's had an awful season so far. Romelu Lukaku just coming back from injury. How do you justify playing them?
Because you need to, against Manchester United, especially, I mean, no offence, but their confidence is wounded. So you need to press from the front. And Mason Mount leads that press. That's why you need Mason Mount in that team, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of Lukaku, I think Werner wasn't... It just wasn't the game for Werner. You need someone to hold up the ball and to kind of really bully that back line, which was again, there for the taking. You can't have Werner running. It doesn't really work. And it didn't work.
Can I say something there? You know how you said you could have bought on Lukaku, you could have bought on Mason Mount, whatever. Okay, I could have said if Van de Beek played, if flipping, what's his name, Martial played, we played to match you basically. We matched you man for man. You said our defenders was there for our team, our back is rubbish. All the pressing you did, all the pressing you did, how many points did you leave with? One.
But what I'm saying is, the team is.
She's criticising
them. I didn't agree with the team that was put out. I think if the front three was different, the scoreline would have been different.
It wouldn't have been different.
Well, in my opinion, it would have been.
Okay, my question now to you, Audrey, is why do you think Lukaku and Mason Mount addition to this team would have changed anything, especially with Eric Bailly and Lindelof?
So are you saying Eric Bailly can't handle Lukaku?
Yes.
I don't think he can.
What, you think Lukaku would have bullied Eric Bailly?
I think he...
Maybe Lindelof, not Eric Bailly. Eric Bailly is a bit rash, but he knows how to stand his ground. Like, I'm not going to lie. Victor Lindelof, maybe. But Eric Bailly, no. I don't think Lukaku would have won all of the battles against him. I'm not saying because I used to be a Lukaku hater. I'm saying because I know Lukaku's played for my team before.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him not do anything against, like, rubbish defenders and, low, like, against Eric Bailly, I think he would have, it would have been a good battle, but maybe Victor Lindelof, maybe he'll be able to bully, but not Eric Bailly. No chance. No chance.
But regardless, that's bullying at least one of your central defenders.
No, but so, then...
So then why do you think that a Romelu Lukaku wouldn't have posed such a threat?
I'm not scared of him. Like, I don't think Man United players are scared of Lukaku as well. I swear, wait, has he not played against us?
No.
Oh, not, oh, okay, well, I don't think... me personally, I'm not scared of Lukaku. If I saw Lukaku run, like, I don't think our back four is scared of Lukaku. Nah, he's not the striker that gives me fear. I'm not saying it because I used to be a Lukaku hater. I'm just saying... I don't think Lukaku versus Bailly, I don't think Lukaku would have won those the war. No chance.
Brie, no, what chance. About you? What was your pros and cons of the match?
The pros were that we had many shots and that we were completely dominant for, I'd say, the first 20 minutes or so. I think within the first 10 minutes, we should have definitely scored. We were literally all over Man United. And even when you look at the stats, like possession, we had majority of the possession throughout the game. So I don't even know how we managed to drop 2 points. But again, looking at the attack, for instance, I would have preferred if Tuchel brought Lukaku on a bit earlier than within the 80th minute. And I think that's where he got it tactically wrong. He should have brought on Lukaku maybe in the 60th or 65th minute. And one of the reasons so is that obviously he hasn't played, firstly, that gives him a chance to warm up and get into the game. And secondly, that gives him enough time as well to like settle in. But bringing him on in the 80th minute when we're still drawing 1-1 just wasn't the best call. I think he made all of the substitutions quite late as well. So that's why I'd say are the cons. And then secondly, another thing, our players really need to work on their finishes, isn't it? Because how can we have had so many shots, yeah, and how many were on target? Out of 20 plus shots, like one went in and it was just a 1-1 draw. I think we can definitely do better within the finishing. And also another con I'd say is that Alonso was really getting on my nerves today.
I was waiting for someone to say it.
Alonso was really getting on my nerves. He's really slow. He kept slowing the game down, kept losing the ball. And he just made it really clear to them we were missing Chilwell. I mean, I understand that Chilwell, yeah, it took him a while to get into it, but we're missing him big time. And I really hope that his injury is not as bad that it has to set up for the rest of the season. But I think if Chilwell was there, the results could have been different because Reece James, he was on it today. Well, it was just the finishing. Unfortunately,
do you have anyone there. Else like other than Alonso as backup?
No.
Not even like an academy or
like we loan Ian Maxson out to Coventry City where he's balling. So
okay, wait.
And Emerson as well. Oh, and Emerson.
You said if Shaw was in the squad, the game would have been different. I can say if Luke Shaw was in the squad, the game would be different.
No, but the thing is
No, they're both.
No, the difference is Ben Chilwell is in the form of his life. Luke Shaw is not.
Even though Luke Shaw is shit, he could have made small runs, done yeah, small passes.
Are we really going to compare Shaw's impact to Chilwell's impact?
It's not the same.
So, okay, can I ask you a question? Because I actually had a debate the other day with my work colleagues. Is Chilwell better than Luke Shaw?
100%.
Jesus. I think overall, yeah?
100%.
Overall. Yes. 100%.
It's not a debate,
babe. So, yeah, like, so you're basically saying Chilwell is better than Luke Shaw? Forget Luke Shaw's, like, patchiness, whatever. You're saying
patchiness is included.
No, I'm talking about over as a player, like, you 100%. Think. I think, cool, that's fine. What about you, like... you guys are entitled to your own opinions. Like, I'm entitled to mine, but that's a mad statement.
It's just pure facts. Like,
it's not pure facts.
When you look at output, Luke Shaw's better. I mean, Luke Shaw, Ben Chilwell's better. When you look at recovery, Ben Chilwell's
so
better.
You're saying Luke Shaw doesn't have that in him, yeah?
I'm saying Luke Shaw does have it in him. It's just Ben Chilwell's better.
I don't think so. Do you know what? Maybe after this recording, maybe tomorrow you ask people on Twitter. You do a poll. My favourite thing.
I've already done a poll. With Luke Ben Chilwell won.
On your account or the Goldigs account?
Does it matter if it's my account?
There you go. Chelsea fans are going to vote for... I'll do it for the Goldigs account. I bet anyone who looks sure will win.
Okay.
And do you know what? I'm actually going to put Marva and the Shy on the spot. Marva, Luke Shaw, Ben Chilwell.
It's hard to say because they've had their ups and downs like continuously. Mm-hmm. Like before I thought Chilwell was like a shoo-in for the England squad and then Shaw just like I thought had a great tournament obviously and just stepped up in the last few like before the end of the season kind of thing. obviously this season he hasn't been at it whilst Chilwell's been on like amazing form. So I don't know, to be honest.
I don't know. If we're going off this season alone, then of course you give it to Chilwell. But overall, I think Shaw just edges it.
What made you come to that conclusion?
Because if we take Ben Chilwell's first season at Chelsea into consideration, he was absolute horseshit.
That's not true.
That's crap. That's absolutely rubbish.
She asked me, so let me answer. He was absolute horseshit. Especially
are you taking a piss?
In the beginning of Lampard's reign, it was questionable.
Under Lampard,
it doesn't matter. Audrey can sit here and say under Oli, there's Oli tax. Now you want to apply Lampard tax? It's fine. But
everyone was shit under Lampard.
That's fine.
Finish off.
And I think if we compare, say for example, if we take it out, we compare their best, Shaw is best, and Chilwa is best. Shaw is better than
Chilwell
is best, and that's just my opinion.
Okay, you're laughing. When Luke Shaw scored for England in the Euros, did you celebrate? Yes or no?
No,
you didn't celebrate.
No.
But the thing is, did he celebrate?
Yes or no?
Celebrating has nothing to do with his ability.
No. But that's the type of player he is. You guys keep looking at him. Forget.
I'm not even trying to underrate Luke Shaw because I know last season he had a phenomenal season. Like, I'm not taking that away from him. But when people want to talk about Leicester and Ben Chilwell and what Ben Chilwell brought to Leicester, everyone wants to forget how good he was for Leicester. Hold on, I'm not done. Everyone wants to forget that when Ben Chilwell was taken out of that Leicester team, Leicester struggled massively and struggled to keep top four. No one wants to remember that last season under Frank Lampard, even under Frank Lampard, Ben Chilwell was our saving grace at that left back position. No one wants to remember that. People want to tell me that Ben Chilwell didn't have a good season last season. That is kind of ironic because as Chelsea fans, we can sit here and I'm not even going to say we won the Champions League. I'm going to sit here and tell you that there were matches where Ben Chilwell, if not for Ben Chilwell making those clinical and winning those clinical duels, we will not be winning these matches. You look at the match against Real Madrid in the semi-final, Ben Chilwell was so crucial. You look against Atletico Madrid, Ben Chilwell was so crucial. I still sat here and I still said that Luke Shaw has had the better season than Ben Chilwell. But if you want to be fair and you want to do it across the last 3 years, including Ben Chilwell's last season at Leicester, Ben Chilwell
That doesn't make sense because Shaw's always out. Shaw's always injured.
That's none of my fucking business.
So how can you say he's a better player than
me? He's a better player.
Get back to the game.
No. We're not done. I feel like everyone's missing the Ben Chilwell of Leicester when we're mixing this all up into one. Because I'm not being funny. We haven't even spoken about that. Everyone's talking about it for Chelsea.
Let's also add that Chilwell is still young as well. Like, how old is Shaw?
Isn't
he like 22 or 23? 24. How old is Shaw?
I think 24.
So I thought Shaw was like 28.
Shaw's like 26,
27. Isn't Shaw our age?
No,
Shaw's
so what, are we doing, say saying what age matters now, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Age matters now, yeah?
He's 26.
Okay, no.
How old is Chilwell?
24.
Exactly.
So does age matter now?
Shaw has been
there. Yeah, by the time Chilwell comes back from his injury, though, how is he going to be there? Yeah,
but Chilwell could be only out, let us pray, for 6 weeks.
What happened?
I don't know, man. I'm praying, man.
It's an ACL.
It's even if
he does like not need surgery after 6 weeks, he's still gonna need to recover. He's still gonna need to have rehab. He's not coming back at least too much. Let's not get our hopes up with that one.
Do you know what? Yeah. Do you know why you guys are like happy right now? It's only because Fred did what he did. If Fred did not do what he did in last minute, I swear to God, all of you will be wearing Man United shirts right now.
And if Jorginho didn't do what he was doing, you would all be wearing Dropper shirts.
What?
Jorginho literally gave you a goal.
That's fine. And you guys wanted to win Ballon d'Or, right? Right? No, right?
But that's got nothing to do.
So a Ballon d'Or winner is giving away goals to Manchester United, like you said, mid-table team, right? Should a Ballon d'Or winner be doing that?
I never said he should win the Ballon d'Or.
Just going back to the game, right? For Chelsea fans, so Bree, Anita, and Tina, do you guys not have a cause for concern that your football is not sustainable if your forwards are not firing? Because today was one of the games where today was one of the games, right? Where I look at the Premier League champions in the past two seasons. For me today, Liverpool and Man City find a way over the line against that Manchester United.
I know, do you know what? As an Arsenal fan, you should have respect for yourself because
James and Ben Chilwell have been your goal, your attacking threats, right? And the attackers that you had on the pitch today, none of them look like they can finish their dinner. So is there not a cause for concern?
Can I just say Lukaku did, because he looks like he's added weight.
Generally, is it not a cause for concern? I feel like everything up until you get to the final third is clicking. But if your forwards are not putting the ball in the back of the net, over the 38-game course of the season, do you see you guys getting over the line?
No, chat, can I ask you a question? Someone that has a Bamyang on their team is actually you're talking about finishing.
I'm
not
talking about Arsenal. I'm talking about from a Chelsea point of view.
Chelsea, do you know why Chelsea can do what they do? Because they've left their fullbacks get the goals. Yeah, that's fine. Football's exactly. changed, bro. Yeah. What's his name?
Do you know what's so
football's
funny?
Changed.
Can I just say what's really funny? All you've gone from cussing us to cussing
a genuine question without it being an Arsenal thing.
No, because it's not just Arsenal. I see my United fans question Chelsea's football. I promise you, I'll rather play.
I'm not questioning their style of play. I'm just questioning the sustainability of their Man City being their goal threats.
Do you know, if Aaron Mansaka can do what Reece James is doing, in us, I would love it. I would enjoy it.
No, but okay, Shai, just to kind of answer your question, right? The football, is it unsustainable? No, it's not unsustainable. Because when Man City were getting Bernardo Silva to bail them out every single match, no one was talking about sustainability then. Do you get? Mm-hmm. Just because our forwards aren't scoring, when Man City's forwards weren't scoring, they're still struggling a little bit at the moment. Mm. When they're not scoring, no one's talking about sustainability. Just because Chelsea's doing it doesn't mean it's not sustainable. When Man City drew
City's
to Southampton,
forwards were still scoring.
What about when they drew to Southampton?
Earlier this season. But now they're 1 point behind you with all these draws and losses.
But that's fine. But they still got the same result. They drew to Southampton. We drew with Burnley. We drew with Man United. We're still ahead of them. So you can't really say it.
None of your forwards' form is a cause of concern for Chelsea.
Well,
that's what I'm asking.
Timo Werner and Callum Hudson-Odoi scored midweek. We played really good football against a really good Juventus side.
But do you know what? There's sayings, forwards don't win you the Prem, and I think it's your defense wins you
the team.
Prem. Like, for example, Liverpool, they were scoring so much goals that period, but then their defense was shit. Once they had a solid defense, do you understand where I'm coming from? So Chelsea can't afford to have left back scoring. Even if one of them don't score, their left back's providing the goals. I'd rather have at least some sets of bunch providing goals. Man United don't have that. We live don't have that. The one player that I'm just so upset, it's not end well for him, is Aaron Zaka. I know he was not good attacking wise, but I genuinely believe that he could do better. And he can't provide. Like, it's sad seeing Reece James do stuff. It's sad doing Trent doing stuff. I can't put money on the line for Aaron Zaka to get a goal or assist. Like, it's nice to sometimes rely on your fullbacks, because you know when your fullback's running, look, at least like Ronaldo, there's no one to give him or providing the ball, bro. He's running around like a headless chicken doing like it's sad. If we had good left backs or fullbacks, I'll feel better. I'll feel more confident in my team. Mm. Like, they can afford to whatever. Who was out? Kante was out, innit? That's a big miss. I'm not going to lie. Thank God he didn't play. If he played, we would have lost. But, like, I don't think you guys should be concerned. Your fullbacks are getting you guys goals. It is what it is.
Mm.
Football's changed. Not like before, strikers were scoring so many goals. Now fullbacks are scoring. Look at Trent.
Also, to be fair, it's fullbacks in a back five where the fullbacks are actually pushed further as well. Yeah. It's not like they're kind of like freedom. Wingers in a way. Yeah.
And Tuchel has said it, his fullbacks are midfielders. So is it such a bad thing to rely on them at the moment? A little bit, because now that Ben Chilwell is out, Marcus Alonso, he's good for one thing and one thing only, and that's scoring goals. But recovery, we saw it today where Marcus Alonso, it was awful.
awful on recovery. Like everyone was out of position today because of Marcus.
No, it was so bad. And it was. I think it's his fault that we didn't beat Man United.
I'm not even gonna lie to you. There was one time when Man United broke really late into the second half. Callum Hudson-Odoi got back before Marcus Alonso. That's Jesus how Christ. Bad it was. Callum Hudson-Odoi was doing the 1v1.
Who else was really bad for Chelsea that didn't catch a lot of flack today? I think Ruben had a terrible game.
Yes, he did.
I
don't know. Yes, he did. He
sunk out the joint. Yes, he did. He sunk out the joint.
Yeah. You know what pissed me off about Ruben today? Every time he had the ball, he looked very clumsy, always giving it away, always off target with the shot. No, he wasn't even trying to go for the shot. That's the thing. Every time he had the ball, it's almost like he's trying to run back with the ball, not towards the ball.
No, I thought he took his time on the ball.
Instead of
just one touch, bam.
No,
it was like 2-3 touches.
It was 10 touches. Mm.
But
do you have anything bad to say about Chelsea at all? Like,
she just said Ruben.
No, but she said he wasn't that bad on the ball. It just took long.
No,
on
I
the
said
ball.
I don't think he was that bad, but I actually do think he took a very long time on the ball.
I thought
Hudson-Odoi had an awful game as well.
No, I think he had an all right game. I like the battle against him and Aaron Saka because there's been times Aaron Saka was a bit scared, but then there's times I saw Cho like not want to go there. I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a time that Aaron Saka was actually, he did step back from Cho, and then time that Cho knew he wasn't getting past him, so he passed the ball.
I actually like that battle. I think in the first half, Cho did well to take the game.
Yeah.
In the second half,
I don't know
Cho
what
didn't...
happened in the second Cho half.
Chelsea should have been 3-0 by half time.
We should have been. And to your Ruben Loftus-Cheek point, right? I strongly, strongly, strongly believe Tuchel didn't expect a 3 in midfield for Man United. That's where the issue came from, because the second I saw Matic, McTominay and Fred,
I'm not including Scott McTominay.
Okay, the two and the one that shall not be included. The second I saw that on the lineup, I was thinking, this is why we miss Kante, because how's Ruben gonna try and find his way past these lot? They were basically barricaded.
I promise you, he's not starting the next game.
About Matic was really good though. If it was like 8 years Matic young, like good. He was amazing. I feel like if it didn't start, you guys would have won. Like, guaranteed. Like, if Matic not start,
it would have been easier.
Yeah, it would have been easier. Like, he was needed. And the only reason why he doesn't start are all the games, because he's getting old, his legs are tired, we need to replace him.
Mm. And speaking of getting old, legs being tired, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Do you bench a fully fit Cristiano Ronaldo for a game like this?
I don't know. Do you know what? Yeah. I don't even know why he was benched, but it makes sense why he was benched, because we're playing against Chelsea, innit? Mm-hmm. There's no one there to feed the ball to Ronaldo. Ronaldo is a scorer. He's always in the box. Like, even when he came on today, he was struggling, bro. That's why, me personally, I hope I don't get backlash from Ronaldo's stand. Like, that's my guy. I would have rather Martial come on, because one, I know Martial can hold the ball. Do you understand? Mm. He's good at holding the ball. I know he can lick off small shots. He can beat small defenders. But whereas Ronaldo, he's always asking people to do stuff. He does stuff. Don't get me wrong, he works his ass off sometimes, but like in a game against Chelsea, you need to put Martial on, man. He would hold the ball. Like, Ronaldo came on and just looked freaking too much.
Martial really held the ball this season though?
No, but he's capable of doing so. Martial's hold up play is really good.
I agree.
Like, generally, it's actually really good.
Has he shown that at all this season?
No, obviously he's low on confidence, but I know personally Martial is a hold up player better.
Okay. I think honestly, it's the system as well though. Like, it seemed like you guys chose security over, because like to put three in midfield, I think it was actually quite a smart decision, especially given like the McFred situation the whole season. Mm. But then it meant you were playing so narrow, you didn't have like the three, so you didn't have the two out wides giving pace and anything to. So I get why they didn't play Ronaldo in that sense, because who's actually playing any balls into? But it just seemed like,
I think what Man United went,
they just sacrificed that basically.
Even though they didn't do much in the first half, the baby red flag was there when Sancho broke free. Mm. It was there. Even though the goal came from a Jorginho mistake, it was there that Sancho and Rashford are just playing. When Chelsea push up, we will put our two fastest runners in behind. Mm. That's why the Lingard substitution made sense.
His subs didn't make sense to me. Lingard did not make sense to me. If you're trying to win the game, you don't put... I don't want to... I know that I'm going to... you don't bring on Ronaldo in that stance. You don't bring on Jesse Lingard. If it was me, I'd have put on Van de Beek. When that small came in, he's only the one that's got good ball retention. Like the rest of them, like only five players on our team has that. If he started, it would have been better. Bruno was he playing as a false number nine today? Mm. He's, I never want to see that again. It stung.
He really had a weird role because I wouldn't even call it a false nine. It was
there were two in front of him.
Yeah, it was so weird. It was deeper than the other two. Like kind of like trying to do what Firmino does, but flopping heavily. Nah, he's weird.
Stunk up. Like even did he see what he did? I think there was a chance of he could have passed the ball, but he wanted to just take the glory by himself. That's what Bruno does. For Fred to be even annoyed at players, it actually sums up Man United's performance. But I'm not mad at that performance in hindsight because at the end of the day. Went to the bridge. I didn't expect us to score first, if I'm being honest. Like, I was even so surprised when I saw Sancho scored. Like, I heard my brother scream, oh, right, are we losing? He's like, no, Sancho scored. I was like, cool. But the moment Aaron Saka was so unfortunate because he didn't mean it. You guys, was that penalty intent? Like,
just on that penalty, though, the consistency doesn't make any sense. Because earlier in the season, I think it was against Chelsea again, Yuri Tielemans in the box. Mm-hmm. Was that against you guys?
No.
It was Yuri Tielemans in the box, and the defender kicked Tielemans' leg because he standing in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that same referee didn't give it as a penalty, but today's one was a penalty. So it's like, make your mind up, which one is it going to be? Because if that's a penalty, the Yuri one is even more stonewall than the one that was given against Wan-Bissaka today.
Anyone got a response to that?
I think it wouldn't have been overturned if it wasn't given. It has to be a clear and obvious decision.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's the most obvious penalty I've ever seen, but I can see why it's been given and it wasn't overturned. I think, obviously, he's going for the ball.
Yeah.
He thinks the ball's there and actually Thiago Silva's in the way. So I can see both sides, but if the official on the pitch has given it, there's no way VAR is going to overturn it.
Did they even look at VAR? No. He just gave it straight away. But to be fair, he did redeem himself because who was going to score? And then he just made that vital blot. You see, who was it? Oh, flip. Help me out here. You know when Aaron Saka redeemed himself and just cleared the ball? Yeah, that was definitely going in. So he did redeem himself. And that's the thing with Aaron Saka.
I was actually going to come to Team Averna just very briefly.
Waiting.
Oh,
okay.
Waiting patiently.
Let's talk about Team Averna. What do we do with this man? I don't even know what to say. What do we do with him?
What we don't do is start him up front and trust him to be our number nine because that's what Tuchel got wrong today. What the fuck was he doing? Those shots, time and time and again. The goal is here. You're scoring that way. I don't know how many times I have to see this. Like, honestly speaking, I don't like seeing Werner up front. And today, he just wasn't the man for it. Like, I understand Lukaku was coming off the back of an injury. But like I said earlier, should have brought him on earlier. I'm not a big fan. And I think maybe it's just not clicking for him at Chelsea, if I should be honest. I'm running out of patience.
It's not me, it's you, man.
God.
How about me?
I think he's a boss.
I think he's a boss.
Okay, Timo, what's your
point of
view?
I agree that he shouldn't be number nine.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should be like where Cho is. I'm not saying that he should be played over Cho, but he should be played where Cho is.
In a winger position.
We're feeding off a striker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be in the team.
Yeah, but tried that. How can you sacrifice?
It does work.
How can you sacrifice the rest of your team to suit Werner when you've got three Premier League goals in 12 months? Because you have to change it to put him in that next to a striker, playing off a striker role.
Well, playing where Cho is.
Yeah, does Cho deserve to be sacrificed?
Listen, I never said that he should play over Cho.
Yeah, but then if you're saying he's going to play where Cho is playing, one of them.
No, but he can still be
bench.
A good squad player, though.
Exactly.
They're going to have to rotate the squad in different competitions.
He should be a good squad player from the bench.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think he should be number nine, and I don't judge him as a number nine. I judge him as a inside forward winger.
But Timo, today he played as a number nine.
And he was arse. Yeah,
he
stuck out of place.
Now I want to ask you another question: did we buy Timo Werner as a winger?
We bought him as a number nine, babe.
Okay, but
right,
it's a good question.
It's just a question.
But, but it's different now because you're talking. You're talking about under Lampard, and now we have Thomas Tuchel. Uh-huh.
So and he still hasn't improved.
I will agree to disagree.
Oh,
can't believe
God.
Under.
Please, I'm begging you.
No, because I think Chelsea fans are so the disrespect to Timo Werner, he's literally our player.
Do you guys want to sell him? If Timo Werner
was at a rival club, every single Chelsea fan will be cussing that rival club for employing
Timo. No, because I don't talk about Pepe. Like, I don't talk about those kind of players.
Of course you do.
I don't cuss Pepe, because at the end of the day, like, he is what he is.
But so that's Werner, he is what he is.
Yeah, exactly. And I respect him as a Chelsea player. He's not a boss.
But I don't know how
respectfully you can talk about Ziyech. £50 million,
3 goals in 12 months.
Fam, you can talk about Ziyech the way you do, and then in the same breath, big up Werner.
I think you guys are being disrespectful to his numbers last year. He had the most goals and assists.
How many offsides did he have?
Goals and assists.
How many offsides?
Tima, 8 goals.
He had and more assists. Tima. How many assists?
Tima. He had more offsides than goals last year.
Tima. That's a disrespectful man. I can't. Tima,
8 goals for our, okay. For our forward.
Did we get top 4? Did we win the Champions League? We did those things.
Right? Did he win us? Was he one of the reasons why we won the Champions
League? The Champions League, yes, because his run creates a space for
Havertz. He's always offside, babe.
Yeah, but his run creates the space for Havertz as well.
But he still ends up offside. But
was it not... Wait, was it not Mason Mount?
No, Mason Mount did the pass. Timo did bring a defender at right, but guess who else can do that? Callum Hudson-Odoi, Christian Pulisic, Hakim Ziyech. Okay. Any other player in that position draws another defender out.
I don't know whether Christian Pulisic does do that, because he's going to be on hospital bed. Cho, fine. Yeah, maybe he does.
Ziyech does. Any single player in that position where Havertz scored his Champions League finals goal, any player that's up with Havertz makes a run. I disagree. Outwards. Any player with a brain,
because one player will just like run through that space.
Timo Werner.
No, he dragged the player out wide.
This was a shock. That's the problem. This is all a shock.
This is shock factor.
We're having it because today. Told the tale.
Yes, he's asked as a number 9.
So why the hell do we still need him?
I think Chelsea fans underestimate. There are going to be games this season where you're going to need Timo Werner to run in behind.
Like Callum Hudson-Odoi can. Christian Pulisic
Callum Hudson-Odoi doesn't do that.
Okay. Oh. Does Christian Pulisic run in behind?
Not in the same pace as Timo Werner.
You know what issue with Werner is? He has the pace, but he's always too fast. That's why he always finds himself offside. So yes,
are his teammates too slow? I'm just asking the question. You said he's too fast, but is it actually that he's making those runs, but his teammates are not spotting him?
How many times has Werner even been offside this month alone?
He's been injured.
He's still playing
before his injury. Baby. Him and Lukaku were both a disaster because they were not helping each other.
Okay,
you don't like Lukaku. You don't like Timo Werner. I don't know what I can do for you. Who can I bring that you'll be satisfied with?
So then do you actually rate Lukaku?
Do I rate Lukaku? Yeah, yeah, I do.
Timo is
I
a CFC loyal.
Lukaku.
Apart from Ziyech
and
to be fair, Timo isn't reactionary though.
So why don't you rate Lukaku for Man United?
Because Lukaku has grown ever since then, my dear. He's grown ever since then.
His stomach or his? Jack, I love you. I love you, Lukaku.
Linda, you can admit. But anyway, let's move on. Man of the match, in your opinion?
For Chelsea or overall?
Overall.
I'm gonna whisper this. Scott McTominay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Scott McTominay. Tima says Scott McTominay, man of the match. Cool. Bree?
Reece James.
One out of that. That's actually not a bad shout. Audrey?
Fred.
Okay. And Marva?
I didn't watch the full thing, so I can't say.
From the little bit you watched.
Reece James looked good to me. Mm-hmm. Fred looked good to me.
Cool. Shy?
Fred.
Okay. And that concludes.
Who's your man of the match?
Who's my man of the match? I don't have one. I really don't want to say a Man United player, so I'm just going to skip that, because every single Chelsea player disappointed me today.
Except for Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva also
disappointed me. No, Rudiger was good.
Rudiger also disappointed me today.
Seriously?
Trevor Chalobah disappointed me today.
That's what I said. Like, Tuchel had everyone was just... Today was just a terrible game.
I don't even blame it on Tuchel. I just blame it on the players. Every single one of them, the hype from the 4-0 in midweek,
got to everyone.
It did.
And everyone was playing a bit brainless.
I feel like everyone was constantly at our position as well today. I don't know what was going on.
Because Marcus Alonso is there. Everyone's at our position, but Marcus Alonso is there. That's what happens.
At one point, I see Reese in the middle. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing?
If Chilwell's ACL is not going to be a 6-week thing, do you go in the market for a left back?
Absolutely.
Or do you recall your,
we have to.
Do you recall your loanee?
I would personally, and I think Chelsea are actually looking at this option, recall Ian Maxson. I think he's 19, I think, and he's playing really, really well for Coventry. And Coventry, they play with a three at the back system, so being a left wing back isn't going to be anything new to him. I wouldn't go and get Emerson back. But then again, there's a young Theo Hernandez that might be looking for a move to the
80 UK. Million.
80 what?
You have 80 million to pay for him.
No one's paying 80 million for Theo Hernandez. Absolutely no one. No one's paying. If that's what it costs, we don't need that. That's fine. We recall Ian Maxson, wait for Chilwell to come back. That's okay. But anyway, moving on. During the week, there were hot rumours about a young Ralph Rangnick coming to Manchester United. Me personally, I'm not too sure how this appointment will work. But I'm going to throw it to the floor. Can anyone see Ralph Rangnick? I'm working with Man United.
Yes.
I think it's more of a long-term appointment. The interim thing is just till they get a coach in summer. He will install some sort of identity. It might be a new identity for Manchester United, not the typical Man United way. But what's the guy's name? Edward Wood is going soon. Mm-hmm. And I think Rangnick moves upstairs, and that's where he becomes a problem. Some of the players and the talent that he's identified, Manchester United are a club that spend money. So now when they start spending smart money, maybe, Audrey might go back to 2013 when she was happy again.
I'm still happy. I'm so happy.
Will you be happy with the Ralph Rangnick appointment?
Yeah, but for me, it's, you can have that person at the top, is picking a good coach. Like, boys, some Man United fans want the, I actually want Poch. I'm still standing by this Poch ring.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's very, like,
why do you want Poch?
That was in my head.
Because I've seen him, how he's, like, when he was under Southampton, I see what he's done. When he was with Spurs, I've seen what he's done. He didn't
win them trophies.
Okay.
That trophies. He does pick good coaches, though. He identified Nagelsmann. Who's the other one? The current Bayern Munich.
Rangnick.
Okay. Nagelsmann, the current Bayern coach, and one other.
Flick.
Yeah, one other.
And Tuchel, that's the thing.
But Man United have options now. Like, I'm seeing people slutting their way to come to Man United. Like,
who's slutting their way to
I saw, what's his name? Ajax manager said a point that the rumours about him coming over to Manchester is nice to hear. So it's like, yeah, I saw Poch. Yeah, when Poch was talking, he said Premier League instead of Do you see the interview when he was talking? He said he would like to remain in the Premier League. You're not at the Premier League, babe.
Was it Luis Enrique?
No. Oh,
was he slotting himself up?
No, but I don't want him.
Enrique said it's April Fool's
Day. Yeah, I don't want him though. That's fine. That's better than Benzema. Do you remember Benzema when you guys were saying he was getting him? He said, you guys are clowns.
That's fine.
I'd rather be said being called April Fool's than being a clown.
Arsenal fans can't speak. Like, what? Wagwan, like, can she look shy?
They actually played well as well on the weekend.
No, we did not.
We'll come to Arsenal.
No, we did not.
I'm sorry, Audrey, you flip and kill me sometimes. Okay. Cool. Rangnick for 6 months. What are your expectations, Audrey?
I hope we just get an identity. I'm tired of Carrick, all of them saying the DNA, the Man United DNA. I'm tired of hearing DNA, because DNA has done us nothing. When we hired Moyes, didn't do us anything when you hired Ole. Just get us a good coach and let's just do something. I know we're not going to win the league, but for me, a good season, is finishing top four. Mm-hmm. And at least, I know I sound mad, just going far in the Champions League. I know it sounds insane that I'm saying it, but that, for me, that's a decent season.
Yep.
Are we still in the FA Cup?
Yeah,
it hasn't started. See, that's how Man United frustrate me. Or win something, but like I said, top four and go as far as we can in the Champions League. That's a decent season for me, considering how we've been in it. I don't expect us to win the league.
I have a question. If you don't expect
Man United to win the league yet? Then what's Ronaldo's sole purpose at the club? Because I don't know who watched the post.
Yeah.
So, that question doesn't make sense because we're like 8th in the league. Well, you guys are like 14 points ahead of us. How are we going to close the gap? You guys are going to keep picking up points.
What was the sole reason for bringing Ronaldo in to begin with?
To help us compete for the league. But then who was the reason why we're not? Ole. Man United fried him, left it too late. Ole should have gone from the Villa game, but Manchester DNA, legend of the club. Sorry.
Manchester DNA.
And Mark Carrick is still saying it. Like, the DNA thing needs to go. Like, Fergie's gone, bro. It's gone. It's a new era of football. It's fine. But like I said, if we sacked him then and then, maybe I'd be like, cool, we can compete a tiny bit. But it's done. Like, I don't see Chelsea dropping so much points and seeing Man United picking up so much points. Okay, we've got Arsenal next. For once, before I'm so confident we can win, I don't even feel like we'll win against Arsenal this Thursday. That's how bad it is. Like, honestly speaking.
We'll come to that prediction in a second. So, anyone familiar with Ragnick's style of play?
A lot of coaches look up to him. So, Tuchel, Klopp. So, I think, actually, last week I spent the whole episode laughing at Man United. But actually, I actually think Man United are back. And I think that Carrick has come in and stabilised a little bit. You know, he hasn't lost. And I think this coach will just build on that. And, you know, I think Man United will get an identity. And I've read somewhere that it's not foregone conclusion that he will just be an interim. That he's also maybe thinking about doing it full time. And I think
Ragnick.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said my character must collapse. Oh, my
Lord. I mean, I don't know what happens with Michael Carrick, whether he stays out of trouble or not. But I think he will definitely imprint some sort of identity, whether it's a Man United away or whoever away. And I think you'll start to see kind of slow, it's changing slowly. One thing I'm a bit confused about is this consultancy role. Mm-hmm. So he's going to do it for 6 months and become a consultant, like Ed Woodward.
I think he becomes consultant until Ed Woodward leaves and then he becomes DOF.
Mm.
Edward is still... I feel like this man's not going to leave, you know.
But the thing is, wasn't he meant to leave December?
I don't know what he's doing at this club. That's like, mate.
Money laundering.
It's actually insane.
He's making his peas, making his money. But anyway, like you said, Man United face Arsenal this weekend. Shay, any predictions for us?
Are we away or at home?
Old Trafford.
I don't think it matters, especially the beating you guys took at Old Trafford by Liverpool.
I get what you mean, yeah, but...
I don't know. I don't see us going to Old Trafford and winning. I'm not impressed with the way we're playing football. And I think all it takes is a team with firing power to put this Arteta guy in the mud. And Man United have this firing Arteta power. United have the firing power.
We have what?
You have the firing power.
Are you being serious?
Yes. What I'm saying is, right, as shit as you guys have been, you give Greenwood, Rashford, Ronaldo, Cavani a chance, you will put Arsenal to the sword. We concede stupid chances in games. As good as they lot sit here, Arsenal defence this, Arsenal defence that. The only reason why it looks so good is because everyone we've played that we've beat have been shitted on us. The teams that we finally need to prove that we can actually defend against, 4-0, 5-0, 2-0, it's a joke. So I don't see us going to Old Trafford and winning. If we do, I will come here shamelessly. But if we don't, I'll saw it happening. I don't see us winning. A draw at best.
What about you, Audrey?
I don't know, man. This team's just oppressing me. Like, 4-1 against Watford is something like Watford. I don't see Man United winning. But to be fair, you have a point because the last time you guys beat us through a penalty in it was the 1-0.
No, it wasn't a penalty.
It was a penalty, Pogba.
It was offside, no?
No, yes. Pogba gave away the penalty and he broke. No, wait. Wait. What was it? You know, it was when it was 1-0 when you guys finally broke the Old Trafford, whatever.
Was it not?
It was. We gave away a penalty.
Right? Maybe, probably. I thought it was the offside one with Saka and then
I'm confused. The last time you guys played against each other was 0-0.
No, Old Trafford.
Was it a penalty?
It was a penalty. Yeah, Pogba. Aubameyang
scored.
Yeah, Pogba gave... That's like, literally, if we did not give away that penalty, it would have been a draw. But like I said, you guys are in good form. We're still trying to figure out our form. Like,
questionable form.
Okay, but you're still getting points and winning, like, scoring. Like, Man United, we've just since Ole's... Since the Watford game, fair enough, we qualified for the Champions League. But even the start of Chelsea's game was a bit funny. It was rocky. I didn't know what we was doing at the start. Like, the players didn't know what they were doing. We wasn't stringing passes. You guys had 23 passes. Man United only completed 3. Like, come on. And do you not... What, ain't that stat mad? You guys had 73 possession. We only had 23. We had 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. You guys had, like... It's a cause of concern. And the way... it's... Okay. Party's been shit, innit? So maybe that can make me feel a bit better. And Pogba, I heard Pogba should be back. I don't know if it's true.
Oh, that's quick.
Boy, who knows?
I thought he was out until the Jan. Same.
I heard he might be back for the Arsenal game.
Maybe Ole's not left, so he's probably thinking he has to speed up his recovery.
But hopefully Carrick gets it right. And I hope, like, the guys play. I hope... Is Maguire back? I hope he's not back.
He's back.
Enjoy that. But anyway, anyone got any other predictions for this Manchester United match? Marva, do you think Man United can take this?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, like... Even though Arsenal have been on quite good form, like even against Newcastle, they didn't start well. And it wasn't until just that bit of quality, which they do have. But I can see that if United take advantage of that and Arsenal don't start strong, then I think, like we've said it from the beginning of the season, like United have player for player a very good team. Everyone knows that. So it's like, I think it just depends who starts the best, really.
What about you, Timo? After watching Man United today, do you think they can go home and give Arsenal a beating?
I think it depends which Manchester United turn up. Mm. If it's the Manchester United, the last 10 minutes of the first half and basically half the second half, I think Arsenal are in trouble. Mm. I think Arsenal are in trouble. I think if Manchester United believe they're going to win that game, they're going to win that game. If Man United do not believe they're going to win that game, then it's going to be a draw.
No, but I don't like the way all of you just sat here and it's all Man United, but no one wants to give
Arsenal
credit.
I'm not
going to
lie. I was going to talk about Arsenal.
Like, nah. I literally said you guys are on good form.
No, not you, but it's like, what have Man United done?
Yeah, but they're at home.
I don't care.
Yeah, but they're at home, so at the end of the day,
Did Everton not go there? Did Liverpool not go there? Like, they're at home. Trafford ain't no fortress.
No, that's what I literally said earlier. Like, it's possible that Arsenal can beat United.
It's definitely possible that Arsenal can beat it, but I'm just thinking in terms of where Arsenal's weaknesses are as well, is that, like, is making silly mistakes and giving the ball away, and given that United's strength are counter-attacking well, quickly and efficiently, that could end badly for Arsenal. That's why I'm saying it depends on how well Arsenal start. If they take those silly mistakes out of their game and they get an early goal, then I think they can hold on to that. But if they don't and make any mistakes, we saw against Chelsea, it's like United can counter and can do it effectively.
United can also make mistakes, especially 100%.
But if they play with three in midfield again and like drop off, I think Arsenal could struggle to break them down too.
I guess it's kind of a perfect segue into Arsenal, you face Newcastle on Saturday early kickoff. And from what I saw, your football has been very frustrating, but, you know, you've made some good points. So do you personally think, from what you saw from Newcastle, you can kind of take a game to Manchester United despite their form at this moment in time?
If it was the first 20 minutes of the second half, yes. The other 70-odd minutes of the game, Jesus Christ, no.
Was it that bad?
I was so close to falling asleep. That's how bad the football was. Like, my nan, who is 90, could play faster than what Arsenal played the first half against Newcastle. Arteta ball, whatever these Arsenal fans call it, it's just too slow. Like, everything is too slow. Saka makes runs, is ignored. Aubameyang's making runs, is ignored. ESR's making runs is ignored, and then everyone ends up being offside. And I think it's a problem because we don't have the midfielders to play the passes. Now, Thomas Partey, last season, questions. Everyone's questioning, does he fit? Does he work? And I don't know if it's because he needs to be an 8, then he needs to be a 6, then he needs to fill in the back 4 when White is forward, if he has too much to do. But against Newcastle, he was absolutely shocking. If it wasn't for Sambi, we don't win that game. So it depends. If it's the Arsenal that turns up against the Leicester, the first half against Tottenham at the Emirates, Villa at home, I think we take away a game from...
You can't use away. A Tottenham game, sorry.
Why can't we use it now?
Because I've said it the last time on the podcast. It's flipping. They were getting panned by everyone. And then you went on the following week and lost the game. Like, it's Tottenham. We even beat Tottenham. Oh, you drew or whatever. You guys didn't win your following game. We even beat Tottenham. Like, I'm not bragging about that. It's Tottenham.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm not even saying necessarily performance, but the tempo Arsenal played at. If we take the game to Man United with a fast tempo, I personally don't think they can live with us. But if it's slow and lackadaisical, when we're trying things like how we were against Newcastle, United pick the ball off us and they go on the counter and they win the game.
You satisfied with that answer, babe?
Yeah, if she thinks Arsenal can go fast tempo against her, that's fine.
Anyway, let's talk a bit about Arteta ball. So 2-0 against Newcastle. I personally, when I was watching it, I'm thinking, why are your passes so slow? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But everyone's talking about the progress of Arsenal.
There's no progress.
Okay, tell me why.
Let me tell you why there's no progress, yeah. There are positive Arsenal fans out there. They go and they talk about defence. Last season, yeah, come the end of the season, Arsenal had the third best defence in the league with absolute bums in defence. So now they tell me, oh, look how well we're playing with these defenders. We spent £100 million on our back line. Of course we're going to play well with our defenders. But Rob Holding and Paolo Mari was doing the same thing Gabriel and Ben White are doing now. Like, it's absolutely pathetic. Going forward, not one of Arsenal's attackers have improved under Arteta. Saka looks like horseshit. ESR looks good in flashes. Aubameyang is, I don't even know anymore, that guy.
Did he miss all those goals?
Okay, he did. He missed... I'm so tired of defending him. Like, you see how Audrey defends Wan-Bissaka? That's how I've been defending
Aubameyang.
I've
stopped now. I've stopped.
And he's embarrassing me. That miss against Newcastle, there's absolutely no excuse for it. And then you say we brought in Martin Odegaard to fix our creativity problems. What has Odegaard done? Nothing. But my problem is the fact that this guy has us questioning some of our better players, he is the problem. When a manager has you questioning your most talented players to see if they're actually good, he is the problem. How Arteta fixes it is either you apply some of whatever Pep and Wenger taught you when you were doing your coaching badges, or you go hire an attacking coach. His attacking phrases of play are dire. I don't think you understand. Dire. And then there's Arsenal fans talking about, oh, maybe we can get top four. We cannot get top four if we can't score. We can't score. Newcastle, they're just shit. That's why we beat them.
That's actually a shit fair point.
Like, everyone that we've played that they're hyping up, Arsenal only beat them because they were shit. Leicester is probably the only team that kind of took the game to us and we came away with something. Brighton took the game to us. We're lucky they're shit as us in front of goal. Palace took the game to us. Lacazette got lucky. Liverpool, they didn't even take the game to us. Arteta started shouting at Klopp. Arteta started shouting at Klopp, and then Klopp said, okay, I'll show you how much of a small boy you are. going into to Thursday now, we can't afford to do this against Manchester United. As I've said, I have visions of Rashford on the halfway line. Gabriel out position, White out position, all of a sudden we're 1-0 down. So for me, it needs to improve, or he needs to go. I've had it. I don't care if we're sitting fifth. I've had it. November, what's our goal difference now? -2? Pathetic.
Can I ask, what's your like expectations for this season?
God knows. I'm going with the flow. That's what I am.
If Arteta was better, like, what do you think with this team, where should you be sitting?
With this team, realistically, Arsenal will finish fifth or sixth. I don't care. I don't see top four.
With this team, a good manager, you should be challenging top four.
But we don't have the facilities for that. Yes. We do not have the manager.
Do you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry. You guys are lucky. Should I tell you why? You're not in Europe. There's no excuse for you guys not to get top four.
Yeah.
My thing is, as shit as some of our forwards are, as much as you don't rate them, right, on paper, Arsenal's attack should make defenders think, okay, I need to be wary. No one goes into the game that they're coming up against the likes of Saka, Pepe, ESR, Lacazette, whoever the fuck it may be in that forward line. They'll just be thinking, is it easy game? Arsenal, where are we in the league? 19th for chance creation. Only Norwich has created less chances than us. But it's embarrassing.
You're still fifth in the league, though.
Don't let the table hoodwink you. That fifth is a false image. If the end of the season is there, I still want him gone, but we'll revisit it.
Wait, if you finish fourth at the end of the season...
Arteta gone. Perfect time to second.
No, I get her. That's how I got Verna.
Perfect time to say, I hear it.
Do you know, that's so true. Because Bree was saying Lampard out even when we got fourth. Yeah. You were saying Oli out even when you guys got second. I guess you're right to have your standards, and if you ask them for meeting your standards at the moment.
Anita, how bored were you when you went to the Emirates?
I was very bored at the Emirates, actually. Okay. I was quite bored.
What, are you typing?
No. I was just eating my sandwich.
So you see the journalists around you? They had enough time to type without looking back up.
What's so funny? The journalist actually left quite early for like the first time in a while, and then the fans looked back at the press box saying, fuck you. Like, they were like, oh, because we played good football, you guys decided to leave, but when we play bad football, you guys stay there forever.
They didn't play no good football, man. I mean, Arsenal fans are letting the results are lying. The results are lying. We do not play good football.
Okay. You have every right to feel the way you feel. You're still fifth. I'm still expecting a top four challenge.
That's you. Me, I'm not expecting it.
Okay, Arsenal fans, I guess if you're listening, let us know what you think. Let us know if Arsenal can contend for.
And if any of you try to cook me, I'll come for every single.
That was your warning. So, Aubameyang, what's the deal with him? Do you let him go at the end of the season? Because from what I'm seeing, Aubameyang, he gotta go.
Oh, my
God. He gotta go.
I would agree that Aubameyang had to go if we were creating for him and he was absolutely missing everything. The reason why Arsenal fans are on Aubameyang's neck is because we are averaging two chances a game. So if you miss the two, like for example, and I'm not comparing, I'm just making a parallel here, right? Salah is very wasteful, but Liverpool keep creating so you don't notice the waste. Arsenal, we're wasteful and we're not creating enough. You can't create two chances a game, and then if he miskicks one, or one goes just wide, you're going to sit here and blame him for losing, when majority of the time we spend in the midfield and in our defensive third because we're not getting the ball to our striker. Mm. A striker without service can't be judged.
Okay, fair.
Do you get a new striker, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's for that French guy's replacement.
Oh, Lacazette?
Yes.
French guy? I like Lacazette, but
why do you like him?
I don't know, because he's sexy. You know, he's easy on the eye.
No. You said a striker can't be judged without no service. Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
So when Martial wasn't getting any service or like front, like why did no one think of that? Why is that Martial shit Martial's done?
Not me personally.
No, obviously not you, but like the people know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking. You said a striker can't be judged without no service. Like, there's been times Martial wasn't getting service. There's people still judging him.
Weren't there times when Martial was playing on the wing as well?
Yeah, but obviously he.
Oh, okay.
No, but he was number nine before they brought in Cavani.
Yeah.
What service was he getting?
Okay. There were times where he was playing wing, right? And he stunk. Yes, no, yes.
But I'm not talking about him on the wing.
No, I'm just saying, because that's where the agenda came from. Playing wing, he's stinking, he's playing nine. Obviously, him not getting the service, that adds to it, but he's still stinking.
Right, and fair enough.
Do you get?
Right. And to your point about a striker not getting service should not be judged, that's air. Because if you're a good striker, you always find your service.
So then
that's
what cap. The... You just talk about
Let's go back to the best
strikers in Europe. You tell me the best strikers in Europe that go without service.
What, currently or overall?
Now.
I've live seen Harry Kane create chances for himself.
You die on this hill.
So am I lying? You guys have not seen Harry Kane create.
No, he has.
I've seen Aguero do the same thing, bro.
Consistently.
I can't say consistently with Aguero. No, yeah, when Aguero on good form, he does create his own chances and he does score goals.
Create his own chances? Yeah, how?
He does.
How?
Don't ask me how, but he does.
He does. I don't know because...
Not all the time, but he does.
Exactly, with Aubameyang, from the tail end of last season up until now, Arsenal fans are expecting him to take the ball from the halfway line in midfield and go all the way into the opposition's box and score a goal.
Okay, that's ridiculous because I thought you meant like just in general because there's been strikers that do create their own chances.
They can create for themselves. But he cannot do it if he's not getting the service. Like,
so he's not all round striker then.
He's never been an all round striker.
That's not cool.
Question: how much are you paying Aubameyang?
£350k.
Okay, so he should be creating his own chances.
He should be creating his own chances.
He should be defending.
Yes!
In goal.
He should be all over that pitch.
He should be everywhere.
No, he shouldn't.
Maybe he's low on confidence.
For that much money?
No, he shouldn't.
350,000?
Maybe he's low on confidence, though. You know, players.
Low on confidence?
Yeah, because every single
350 should cover the confidence as well.
No.
He's an
Agbaya. I don't even like
he is in a team with young children.
If we're talking numbers, right? Arsenal have created 7 big chances. Aubameyang has 5 goals. This is why I'm saying we don't create enough for him. Because every Arsenal man that's going to slate him, when he was out here dragging that whole fucking lot of them on their bum, no one was calling Aubameyang finished. As soon as Arteta has come in, every single one
it's
of
the common denominator.
Arteta, of course he is. How can a striker go from getting 22 and then 13 the season he had malaria to 5 now? Mm. Like, it doesn't make any sense. People are saying, oh, if Aubameyang was a good striker, Arsenal's goal difference would have been a minus. So he's supposed to have had 17 goals this season. So
but he's not your only striker, though. What about...
Don't even mention that Lacazette guy.
What's wrong with Lacazette?
What's right with him?
Every time I see him, he looks like he's...
Like what? He doesn't put the ball in the back of the net.
He does. Nah, that Palace game, you know you would have lost that Palace game about Lacazette.
Deservedly so.
No, but he's a good sub to like Lacazette. When he comes on, there's a chance that he's gonna score a goal.
He comes on. He runs around for 20 minutes and he can't breathe anymore.
But he'll get a goal.
20 minutes.
Yeah, he's an impact striker.
He's like Hernandez. You remember Hernandez from Man United?
Oh,
yeah,
Chicharito.
You get my memo though. Like, those are the type of strikes that you know he's going to get a goal. Fam, I said it when he came on against Palace. I said he's going to score a goal. And what's he going to do? He scored a goal.
You need strikers like that. Because every time Man United play Chelsea, Chicharito comes in the last 20 minutes and he scores. I hated him. Hated him so much. But
oh, and another thing. I need to address my fan base one more time. See all you people that sit here and say week in, week out, when Arteta gets his players, when he gets this, when he gets that, I've never met a manager in world football that has needed 11 new players for a system to work. And this is why, when they were cussing Graham Potter, look at Graham Potter and look at Vieira. You know Brighton's style of play. You know how Palace are going to play. Palace and Brighton are perfect examples of a manager that has ideas in their head about what they want to do and they don't have the personnel. Hence why Palace drew the Leicester game, hence why they drew the Arsenal game, why Brighton drew 0-0 with us, why they drew 0-0 with Leeds. What Arteta is doing, I'll sit here and I'll ask you guys, you can answer, you can cuss me if you want, I don't care anymore. What is Arsenal style of play? Please tell me, what kind of football do we play? Possession-based? Counter-attacking? I'm still figuring out, he's been here for 2 years. I had enough.
We're good defensively, though.
Do you know what, mate? We're going to mic drop it there and we're going to put it out to you guys to answer that question for us because we're running for time and I really want to hear about Marva and the Blues. So, speaking of Brighton, Brighton's manager got booed the hell out of at full time when they drew 0-0 against Leeds. Now, Graham Potter, he came out, he was just like, I don't know why they're booing type of thing. He basically gave it back to the fans saying, I don't know what they expect type of thing. You got to read the game, etc. Now, Marva, considering you were on the end of some booing as well, why do
not
you
me
think,
personally.
Not you personally. Not you personally. Just your team. But
yeah.
Why do you think Brighton fans are so frustrated with their manager at the moment?
I don't know if it's like a longer... I feel like people might be really into the booing a bit too much in terms of Brighton because sometimes when you're just at a game, it's cold. It's been like that was quite a dead game as well. It was 0-0. And then sometimes just at the end, you just like let that frustration out. It's not necessarily a thing of like a bigger problem of them being like, we want Potter out, et cetera, et cetera. It might just be that game was quite boring. And do you know what I mean? They're a bit frustrated at that game. But either way, yeah, I do think Potter was in his rights to be mad at that because like, what he's been doing with them, even the last few years, like when they, like we're saying, they didn't have the minerals to do it, but he still kept them up, even when it was looking bad. And then this season, they've been doing really well. What, they're sitting like eighth, I think, at the moment?
Yeah, they're eighth.
And it's like, Brighton, remember where you were for the last like few seasons.
You're the ninth now because Man United drew.
Yeah. But even so, it's like, and they've gotten some like decent, it's not even just like, oh, they've played Newcastle and Norwich and got results, like they've got some good results against better teams as well. So he's within his rights to be angry at them, but again, I don't know if we should read that much into it that they're like actually really pissed off at Potter or if it was just that game.
Cool. And
just for our readers, because I think I got it, the quotes mixed up. So he said, word for word, well, they're entitled to their opinion. I disagree with them completely. You have to understand the game. You have to understand who we're playing against, how we played, what we did. I think we're sitting in eighth in the Premier League, but maybe I need a bit of a history lesson at this football club. He basically, in my opinion, with the tone he said it
Who are you guys?
He basically said, be grateful. I put dinner on your plate.
He's right.
He's unlucky to try that game because Mope, he didn't know how to finish his dinner either. That's Brighton's problem, though.
They just never know how to finish. Yeah. Like, they're good, they're a well-coached team, but they need...
They're like one striker away from being like a pretty good team.
Yeah, a really good striker away. Audrey, if we had the chance to have gone Old Trafford at any point in the season, would you have booed off Ollie? What match would you have booed him off in?
Liverpool. No, Villa. I've never, you know what, for the 2 years or how long that man's been, I've never liked the guy. There's not one that's positive thing. Like, even when we beat PSG, I've always said, I'm Ole out.
It was Beatrice.
And she used, we used to go back and forth. And for the top reds, I haven't been on the pod for ages, but I've actually won. Every morning they used to argue with me and tell me, they'll say London, look at location, go support another club, this and that. You know what? They should go and follow Ole to wherever he's going because I've won this battle. I've actually won. And I've been dying to say on the podcast, every morning they will tell me location. And yeah, I'm from London. What? I'm so happy that Ole is gone. Then I wasn't on the podcast last week because I meant to talk about when he came on camera crying. My United are bad. He shouldn't have been on camera crying. If me personally, I'm taking to prison straight away because that 4-1 defeat.
Prison?
Yeah. Like how wild? No. Like when Louis van Gaal won the FA Cup, he wasn't allowed to come on camera upset or do an interview. Yeah. Mourinho wasn't. But Ole, that's been probably for me. Okay, he did well for the club. Yeah, he's done his best.
What did he win for Man United during his tenure?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. He didn't win anything, but he's actually kind of rebuilt the club from Mourinho in a way. Like, he's got rid of the bums. He's brought in decent players, but he's just not a good coach. Like, I always say, a team that has Varane, Ronaldo, Sancho, Rashford, Greenwood, I want to say Maguire.
So it's 80 million.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't be eighth in the league. We should be closer to teams like Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, considering the amount of money we spent.
Yeah.
So, boy, I've top red, so you, mate.
Brie, in any of your Chelsea matches against Lampard, is there a particular match you would have gone?
City.
Okay. And you would have gone there and booed?
Yes.
Okay. No problem, Shai. Any particular matches you would have booed Arteta?
There's a lot, man. But you know what? Aston Villa at home last season, but it was COVID. Fucking hell. They
hit
the Emirates and piped.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
3-0?
Yeah.
You're not the only team that they piped that season. Timo, what about you?
I think it was his last game, Leicester away. When
no, I remember that game.
When James Madison came out and said they barely trained tactics.
Yeah.
I didn't eat for a week. I was like, is this for my team? You did not have tactics.
It was around this period last year as well.
No tactics. You didn't train any tactics and you spammed us 2-0.
That's like what KDB said about us, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said they trained for 10 minutes.
And you know what? My United fans said that's a good thing that Pep doesn't know the type of team that Man United are going to play. It shows that was shit. Like, I feel like with Man United fans, I thought never like hire someone close to your club because it's going to be difficult to get rid of them.
Yeah.
If we drew 2-2, I promise you, they'll be saying, you're my Ole. That's how dumb Man United fans are. Thank God to be lost 4-1 and he's gone. Like, Man United fans never boo Ole like that. That Watford game, that's when I knew, he's done. Even when we lost against Man City, the boos weren't like strong. Liverpool, wasn't it? But I think I don't know
Went out and just still waved for him after and clapped for him after Liverpool.
It's mad.
If I'm losing 5-0 to my rival, I'm throwing tomatoes at you.
Boy, I'm just happy he's gone.
But before we go on to Everton and their woeful match, Chelsea fans, a couple of you are calling for Tuchel's head already.
Huh?
Guys, the things I've seen on
what?
Twitter.
What?
Yeah.
The things I've seen on Twitter.
Fan base I've ever come across.
Mate, very.
Do you know, what? There is a poll currently going on. In fact, let me go on my Twitter
I beg these people to be an Everton fan for a day. I beg you. I beg you.
No,
wait. No. So 1,681 people have answered, are you Tuchel in or Tuchel
already?
On whose account?
On some guy called, I don't want to bait out his app, but they've asked, are you Tuchel in or Tuchel out? Tuchel out is winning with 52%.
For what reason? Why?
God knows.
We're sitting at the top of the league, having just won a Champions League. Listen, like 6 months
they not ago. Remember? I just spoke about Leicester away. Can we? Do we want to go back to those days? Do we want to go back?
Let's just not be reactionary. Yeah, we're spoiled fans already, but it could be worse. We could have drawn 0-0 with Leeds, and we could be sitting here with Marva. So, Marva. Were you one of the ones booing?
You know what?
For Benitez?
It was. The thing is, I've never actually seen this before at a game. Like we've had bad games, obviously, like so many bad games. But generally, it's like a player, two players come over, do a little clap, and then go. This game was different. Like usually, Everton fans as well leave. Like you know, the moment the whistle's gone, and apart from a few who want to stay behind and shout things, I've never seen so many people stay in their seats after a game that poor. Then about six players, Everton players, came over and they're like approaching like slowly, like trying to like say sorry, but they're scared of us. Then they get closer and then they were just like looking at us like they were just sorry. They were like embarrassed and they were just looking at us like just like head down, just saying sorry. Everyone around me scream, you fucking, you fucking side face, you fucking, all of that. I've never seen it that bad. Honestly, I was in shock, and like, I mean, Coleman like puts his hand like on his heart, and he like trying to say like I'm sorry. Goes even mad, like everyone else is going crazy. It's like, how dare you're the captain? Like, how are you now saying sorry? Like, who do you? It was bad. Like, I've never seen us down that bad.
Bear in mind, it was just 1-0.
No. But listen,
so what's your point of view on the game? Talk to us.
It wasn't. The thing is this wasn't even our worst game in terms of like Decore was back. Brentford were so bad. I've honestly never seen a Premier League club this bad. They were so bad. They couldn't even clear the ball. And we had more possession. We never have possession. We actually had possession. We were actually winning our battles in midfield. But the moment we got the ball out on the wings, we didn't know what to do. They were like, we were just lacked any quality, any creativity. We literally had no plan. And that's what's scary because, yeah, cool, like, there was one when Damari Gray came on, like he put in two good balls.
He
got injured in the Man City game. And then like there was one ball that was a very good ball that 100% if Calvert-Lewin was there, he would have got onto it. But Rondon's 20 miles behind because he doesn't know what he's doing. And then it's like, so fair enough. Yeah, we've got a few players. Obviously, we still got a lot of players to come back that I feel like will be okay generally. But our season right now, we will 100%, like this isn't even reactionary, we literally could be 18th by Christmas. Like, we haven't won in 7 games. Oh, our next game is Liverpool. That is 8 games. Oh, our next game after that is Chelsea. Oh. That is 9 games. Then we've got Palace away, which isn't easy either. Like, fair enough, yeah, you could say you should be winning that. But if we haven't got Calvert-Lewin and stuff back, after that we've got Arsenal. So that could be literally 11 games without a win.
Do you think you're really going to battle for relegation?
In the next like month, 100% we'll win a relegation battle. 100%.
But you won't go down though.
I don't think we'll go down because in the same way that like we've been a few injuries away from disaster, which has happened, but we're also like a few recoveries away from being like an okay team. Our first starting 11 isn't that bad, but when we don't have that, we have nothing. Like, it's so bad right now.
Richarlison is not playing.
I love that guy, yeah, but he got a yellow card in the Man City game when we're going to lose that game anyway. He got a yellow card and was suspended for this game. Oh, this is the game we needed him for because we have no. Honestly, if he played, I think we would have won. Mm. But it was like one dumb penalty, which may be a bit harsh. I don't know. I couldn't really see it.
It wasn't
harsh. Everton fans are saying it's harsh. I don't know. Also, apparently we should have got a penalty the other way. Apparently Rondon got fouled. I don't know. Anyway, we didn't create enough. We didn't create enough to do anything. Like, and I don't know where our next win is coming from. I cannot see it at all.
Don't worry. Arsenal 3 points.
Nah.
You've got Liverpool next.
Wednesday we have Liverpool. Wednesday. That is like a 7-0.
Anfield.
Oh,
God.
But to be fair, yeah, at least you beat them last season.
I know, that's the only thing. But, and my only, like, grimace of hope is the fact that we're so bad and they're so good that I feel like Klopp will do one of his things that he often does against us and just, like, not even play as strong as team.
By the grace of God.
I feel like he won't even, like, hopefully they just won't even treat it like a derby. They'll just take pity on us and just think.
The front three are fighting for that golden boot within each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be, it's scary. Like, we could, if we let in some early goals, it could be bad.
That's a rubbish, like Liverpool versus... Everton. How can you not? They're not. You're not rivals.
What is it? The last time they played
last few games, they won,
but because of Liverpool injuries. But that's not a, like, as Everton fan, how can you actually call Liverpool your right? Like,
honestly, for the last few years, when was it? The worst was one of the low points was when it was the FA Cup. And they put out their kids. They literally put out their kids.
Oh, yes.
And they won. And after that, honestly, all Everton fans were like, I saw Everton fans writing articles saying, like, this isn't a derby anymore. Let's not even call it a derby because if we can't beat their kids.
They didn't respect that match at all. And they still won. But new expectations for the season, Martha.
I said from the beginning, I'm like, my goal for this season is to stay up. And I'm not even being, like, because we went into the season without a backup right back or left back. Coleman is like 33. Seamus Coleman is 33 and we don't have a backup right back.
You can't buy one either, can you?
I think maybe in January we might have some money to spend because we got rid of James Rodriguez and Moise Kean. So it's like we've got rid of some wages. So I think we might have some money to spend in January, but not a lot.
Is this Benitez's fault?
No, it's not his fault in terms of...
She said no.
Not on the chest, though.
I feel like the James Rodriguez one, I get why we... Like, if we're in financial difficulty and he was on a lot of wages, I get. Yeah. But at the same time, watching that game today, we have no quality. And Benitez clearly had some personal vendetta against James, got rid of him. And I'm like, we could... really do with someone like that right now.
We can really,
like, 100%. With Rondon.
He's working with what he's got. Benitez in for another couple of seasons.
But I think this put pressure on Benitez because other games you can say, like, cool, injuries, etc. But for this one...
So did you see him getting sacked?
I mean, if he doesn't... What manager survives, like, 12, like a 10-game run without a win? Without any pressure on them?
Arteta.
Ole.
Without a win. 10 games without one win.
Ole.
That's... No, you guys haven't had 10 games without one win.
Actually, no, to be fair, we haven't had 10 games.
Thank you.
We had one win in
10,
if that helps.
Yeah, well, I'll take that right now.
You had a win.
But no, I think today was bad on him as well because it was like... He put out the team of Rondon in the middle, up front... And there was no plan. They just still put aimless balls into the box with only Rondon in the box. That's Benitez's fault because it's like, what were you expecting with that? And then he had three strikers on the bench. Fair enough, one is Tosun, who hasn't played in about 2 years. Yeah. And then the other two are youngsters. But we've been 1-0 down since the, 10th minute or something. Mm-hmm. We've got, it's like 20 minutes to go in a must-win game. He didn't make a sub. He made like one sub, but in terms of at that point... Three strikers sitting on the bench. The least you could do is just put on some strikers and just put some balls into the box. Brentford were shit. They were so bad. They were passing it to us. We were winning the ball back every time and had nothing to do. Just put on some strikers and see what happens at least. Mm. But so that this game, I think, has put pressure on Benitez because part of that was down to him as well. And he's now got to go to Liverpool.
You've got Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal.
And then I think Leicester soon after as well.
Yeah, I'm not too sure how Everton are going to find their way out of this. But, you know, I'm always down for a club that we can all just pile on and ask so many questions about. Because at this moment, all the questions are, why are you guys like this? Like, what's going on? Well, is it the manager? Is it the players? And I really enjoy that because I feel like I learn something every single time about Everton. By the way, guys, thank you so much for watching another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast or listening. My mum is now calling me because she knows it's really late. We recorded pretty late because a couple of people decided to come a little late today. It is now 10:15 p.m. where we are, and everyone has to go home on a school night.
But anyway, thank you guys for watching and listening wherever you are. Please make sure you follow us on Instagram at golddiggersuk_. Follow us on Twitter at golddiggersuk. Follow us individually. And yeah, I guess it's a wrap. Thanks, guys. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.